Bibles with you this morning. Let's find those. And let's want to make sure that you hear me this morning. What I'm going to say is important. All right. I think we got our volume regulated there. All right. Ephesians chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we'll find our text and our thought for this morning. And Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll pick up our reading in verse number 21. And just read a few verses. We'll read verse 21 down through verse number 24. And then I'll try to preach to you for a few minutes this morning what God has given to me. All right, if we're there and we want to stand, how about let's do that together. Read these verses together. And then we'll pray and you can be seated after we finish praying. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Father, bless your word, we pray. Use us as we try to preach from it. God, do for us what we are incapable of doing for ourselves, is our request. Lord, let these people see you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name and amen. Well, a couple of Sunday mornings ago, I told you that we were going to take a few weeks and kind of preach a small series inside of our series. We've been preaching through the book of Ephesians. But for the next few weeks, I wanted to preach to you under the heading or the thought of having a structured home. Paul takes the ending verses of Ephesians chapter number 5 and the beginning verses of Ephesians chapter number 6 and speaks to us about our homes. Paul addresses the dynamic of husbands and wives, the dynamic of parents and children, and then the dynamic of masters and slaves, or what we would think of as maybe being employees and employers. And to each one of these things, God gives us an order. And therefore, I call this having a structured home. I truly believe that when God's order is followed in our homes, in our churches, and in our nation, when God's order is followed, there are blessings that come along with that. And then when God's order is ignored, there is in turn trouble that comes along with that. Now, the last Sunday I was with you, of course, I was not here last Sunday, but the last Sunday I was with you, I pointed out the fact that before Paul deals with the individuals of the home, he deals with the attitude of the home. In order to have a successful home, we must not only be in our God-given place, but we must be in the right place in our own hearts and in our own minds. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 9. Solomon said, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. I think what he was saying is attitude is pretty important. And may I say, just for the sake of fairness, that verse could also apply to brawling husbands and brawling teenagers and brawling parents. When we do not have the right attitude in our hearts, then we make it difficult for everybody else in our household. That could also be said for church members. When we don't have the right attitude as church members, we make it hard for other church members. All right, I believe that is true. I believe that is right. And therefore, Paul, before he begins with the individuals of the home, he begins by saying you need to be spirit-filled. You need to have a heart of thankfulness. You need to prefer others above yourself. You need to be joyful in all that you do. Attitude is very important when it comes to our homes. Well, after discussing the attitude of the home, Paul transitions to the individual members that make up that home. Specifically, he talks about the wife and the husband. And he makes the transition with verse number 21. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The principle of the rest of this chapter is found in verse number 21. And the principle is this: you and I are to submit to one another in the fear of God and in love. Can I say that the most important verse, in my opinion, in this entire section dealing with husbands and wives is verse number 21. And if we miss verse 21, the rest of the chapter is going to become increasingly difficult. Verse 21 is the key. Verse 21 is the pivot point. It is the most important verse. Paul says that husbands and wives together are to submit to one another. Now we know that in just a moment Paul will deal with the wife. And when he does, he will give us that great teaching that the wife is to submit to her husband. We know that. We'll deal with that in just a moment. But before he tells us that the wife is to submit to the husband, he says in verse 21 that we both are to submit to each other in love and in the fear of God. I'll say this: if you and I are going to have successful marriages, then we must pay the price for our marriage to be successful. And the price we must pay for our homes to work is the price of submission. The phrase submit to one another carries the idea of voluntarily yielding to one another in love. When we apply this to marriage, and that's what we're trying to do this morning, when we apply this to marriage, it looks something like this. Both members of the relationship have to be willing to love and treat and appreciate the other more than they love and appreciate and care for themselves. I believe it was Dr. Curtis Hudson that one time said, good marriages are not the result of finding the right person, but rather being the right person. I'll say this, the I'll do as I please attitude is not the attitude of the spirit believer, and it is not the attitude of a successful home. Every person in the marriage has a role to play, and we will see that in the coming weeks. But before we can understand our individual duties, we must understand that everything we do in the marriage has to be not for our own good, but for the other's good. The home has to always come first. We can't come first. In fact, this may be a little bold, maybe a little too bold, but I'm going to say it, and I'm just going to run on past it and let you digest it as I move on. I'll say this. If we are not willing to put our spouse first, then we might as well expect to have problems in our marriage. As long as you are number one, you'll never have the marriage that God wants you to have. Well, that brings us to verse number 22 and our thought for this morning. Under having a structured home, maybe if you're taking notes, you'll write this down at the header, having a structured home, then write a hyphen and the wife. The wife is what we'll deal with this morning. Paul deals with the wife before he does the husband. And so we will follow that order of the text and deal with the wife this morning. Having a structured home and the wife. I truly believe that if you take verse number 22, verse number 23, and verse number 24, and Paul's teaching on the wife, I believe that there are three words that can sum up this entire teaching. I'll give you these three words and I'll get out of here. If you're taking notes, write this down. I want you to write down the word role. Role. Maybe you want to write this next to it. What is the wife's role in the marriage? What is a wife's role in the marriage? Verse number 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. The role of the wife in the marriage relationship is without a doubt the most controversial one of the two. And it is also the most misunderstood role of the two. There are some that tell you that the wife should stay at home. She should be barefoot and pregnant all the time. They say that she is a slave. I'll say this. They don't have the guts to come out and say that she's a slave, but they'll preach it like she's a slave. And so they'll tell you that she is a slave inside of her home. She is to jump every time her husband snaps his fingers, and that she is just a second-class citizen. Now, again, they won't say that, but that's what they'll say. And so that teaching is very prevalent. Now, there's another teaching that is just as prevalent in our world today, and it is the opposite side, the exact polar opposite, and it is the group that yells and screams and hollers about women's rights. They believe that there's no difference between the woman and the man. And what we'll discover in our passage of Scripture is that both of those things are incorrect and both those things are wrong. In these verses, the Bible tells us that the wife is to submit to her own husband as the church submits itself unto the Lord. In fact, every time you read about the role of a wife inside of a marriage in your Bible, you will find that that same instruction is given. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, it's in Colossians chapter 3, it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, it's in Titus chapter 2. Over and over again, the Scripture teaches us that same truth, and that is the fact that the wife is to be in submission to her husband. So, what does that word submission mean? If that is the teaching, if that is her role, what does that mean? Well, that word submit in verse number 22 and following comes from a Greek word that means to yield voluntarily in love. I think to understand that word, maybe the best way we can understand what it means is if we understand what it doesn't mean. Let's start right there. Let's understand what it doesn't mean, and then we can understand what it does mean. That word, submit, does not mean that the wife is inferior to her husband. It does not mean that she is inferior to her husband. According to Galatians chapter 3, verse number 28, men and women alike are equal in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3:28, there's no difference between male and female, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, bond and free, and so on and so forth. Therefore, we can say that the wife is not inferior to her husband. She is equal in creation. She is equal in the eyes of God. She is a valuable asset to the home. She is not inferior to her man. Submitting does not mean she's inferior. What it does mean is this. It means that she is equal to her husband, yet because of love and because of her calling, she willingly steps down and submits, even though she is equal in the relationship to her husband. You think about the good example of Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, if we were to maybe take a poll of who was the more valuable of the two, I would say as many, if not more people, would say that Mary was just as valuable, if not more valuable, than Joseph. Wasn't it Mary that God chose to bring the Messiah into the world? That seems like a pretty important role to me, doesn't it, you? But if you read your Gospels, you'll discover that Mary, although equal in value, if not greater in value, Mary over and over again throughout the early Gospels willingly submitted herself to the leadership of Joseph as he led their home. It was Joseph that took them to Bethlehem, and it was Joseph that took them to Egypt, and it was Joseph that took them to Nazareth, and so on. You see, Mary, although just as valuable, willingly submitted herself to her husband. We could say it this way, according to Philippians chapter number 2, verse 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul argues that Christ was on equal footing or on an equal level with the Father. That's what Paul said. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He became obedient to death. And as a result of that, God exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name. Again, equal with the Father, but willingly submitted himself in love to the will of his Father. And because of that, he was highly exalted and God blessed him. You see, the wife in the home is not inferior to her husband. She is equal. In fact, she is a precious gift in the home, but she willingly submits herself to her husband so that she and her home can be exalted in the eyes of God. It does not mean that she is inferior to her husband. It does not mean that she's less valuable than her husband. Proverbs 31 and 10 said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Sir, I don't want you to forget that your wife is a precious gift from God. And she ought to be treated as such. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:7 that we are to give honor unto the wife. She is that precious gift from God. She is a wonderful thing. And in Proverbs 31, that virtuous woman, she was praised of her husband. She was praised of her children because of her great value. She's not less valuable than her husband. A couple days ago, we were sitting at home and I asked my daughter, Caroline. I said, "Caroline, I've got to write my sermon for Sunday. You want to write it for me?" And she said, "Well, what are you preaching on?" I said, "I'm going to preach on wives." And she immediately, Brother James, had a sermon ready. Her sermon was quite long. I couldn't give it to you all this morning. We'd be here all day. But she had three main thoughts, Brother Jason, in her sermon. And they sounded something like this. Point number one, women are smarter than men. That was point number one. There was no logic or explanation to that point. It is just stated as fact and to be received as fact. Point number one, women are smarter than men. Point number two, she said, wives are better people. And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes, they have to put up with their husband's craziness." I can't argue much with that. So women are smarter. Women are, what was number two? Women are just better people in general. And number three, she said, wives are more valuable. She said, "You don't read any verses where it compares a husband to a precious jewel, do you?" I said, "No." She said, wives got a whole chapter dedicated to them and husbands don't. She said, "So wives are more valuable." Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that I could disagree with any of those things. And I'll say this, that wife is precious and she is valuable. To submit to your husband does not mean that you are inferior, nor does it mean that you are less valuable. Oh, to submit to your husband, that role of submission does not mean that she is to, and this is going to go over a little bit crazy with some of you, but it doesn't mean that she is to obey her husband. The Bible teaches us that the husband is to rule his home with love and not be a lord over God's heritage. I know some men that the only verse they can quote in the entire Bible is Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." They can't quote any other ones, Brother David, but they got that one down. And I'll say this, sir, if you've got to remind her of that all the time, or if you've got to yell it at her all the time, you are doing something wrong. Oh, it does not mean that she is less valuable, inferior. It does not mean that she is forced into obedience. What does it mean that she takes on the role of submission? What it means, Paul described it for us. He said she is to submit to her husband like the church submits to Christ. How is it that you and I are to submit to Christ? Well, there are some that preach very dogmatically and they almost force their people into servitude, right? That's the way they do it. They force you to live for God. They put these heavy rules and regulations on top of you. But when Jesus was here, Jesus said something like this: if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, he would say a few verses later, keep my words. You see, the way that I serve God, and I'm glad I finally got to this point in my Christian life. Happy was the day I got to this point in my Christian life where I do not serve Christ because I am forced to or made to, or because I would feel guilty if I don't do this and I don't do that. But I serve Christ because I get to, because I want to, because I love him that much, because he first loved me. And oh, the love of God that is in my heart that compels me to serve him. That's the way I love Christ. And that, my friend, is the way a wife submits herself to her husband. She does it because that love is there. She does it not because she's forced to, but willingly. Not out of duty, but out of a heart of love. So our first word is role. What is her role? Our second word is the word respect. It is the word respect. Maybe you want to write this down. The wife is to respect her husband and respect God's order. Respect her husband and respect God's order. Verse 23 said, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Paul admonishes the wife to be in subjection to her own husband in the way that the church is subject unto Christ. And he goes on to say that the husband is the head of the wife just as Christ is the head of the church. This is a principle that is taught not only in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, 1 Peter 3, and so on and so forth. This is a principle that is taught to us all the way back in the beginning, even in, as far back as in the Garden of Eden. This principle finds itself in Genesis 2 and again in Genesis chapter number 3. In fact, I believe that Paul had Genesis 2 and 3 in mind when he wrote Ephesians 5, because he will quote from Genesis chapter 2, verse 31, here in just a minute. Therefore, he has these verses in mind when he says, wives, submit to your husbands. The husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the church. You see, he's thinking now about God's original creation and the way God planned things. In Genesis 2, the Bible teaches us that God had an order into his creation. On the first day, he made light. And on the second day, he created. On the third day, he created. And for 6 days he created. There was an order to creation. And according to Genesis, again, 2 and 3, in God's order of creation, he created the man first. You say, why did he do that? I don't know. You'll have to ask him when you get to heaven. I'm just telling you he did. And the Bible said that Adam was alone in the garden until the day he realized he needed a helpmeet, and God made him a spouse. We don't know how long Adam was alone in that garden. It could have been a few days. It could have been a few hundred years. We don't know. All we know is that Adam was in that garden long enough to realize that something was missing in his life. And when he realized that something was missing in his life, God created for him a spouse. Adam was not made for Eve, but Eve was made for Adam. In like manner, it is the duty of the wife to respect her husband as the leader of the home, because that is God's natural order to the home. And when a woman places herself in the position of running the home or ruling the home, she places her home in a position of danger. You say, but Brother Josh, I'm smarter than my husband. That may be true, but you're still to respect him as the leader of the home. You say, but Brother Josh, I make more money than my husband. That may be true, but you're still to respect him as the leader of the home. Several years ago, I worked with a man, and his wife had a really good job. She made substantially more money than he did. And the man that started the business, he would all the time say their marriage will never work. A marriage can't work where the wife makes more than the man. It'll never work. But you know what? Their marriage did work. And the fact that maybe you are smarter, maybe you make more money, maybe you got more common sense, does not, however, change the fact that God has called upon your husband to lead the home, and he's called upon you to follow his leadership. We are to walk together in unity, because when we are married, we are no longer two, but one flesh. So we are to walk together in unity, side by side. But although we are one flesh, we must never forget that there can only be one head. And that head is the husband. I'll say this to the wives that are in the room this morning, and hopefully you'll receive it in love, which is the way I say it. One of the most demeaning things that you can do as a wife to your husband, and one of the most detrimental things you can do as a wife to your marriage, is choose not to respect your husband. I believe that you could sit down almost any married couple that are having problems, sit them down individually and say, I want you to tell me what's the problem in your home. And almost every wife would come back and say something like this: he doesn't love me. He doesn't love me like he used to. He doesn't love me like other husbands love their wives. He doesn't love me like he should. And we'll deal with that love next Sunday of the husband. But almost every wife, or almost every husband, if you ask him what's the problem in your home, he would probably say something like this: my wife doesn't respect me. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, the apostle deals with a wife that has a husband that maybe even doesn't deserve respect. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, the husband's not even saved in that chapter. And Peter's dealing with that wife that has that husband that maybe some would say does not deserve the respect that the Bible teaches she should give. And Peter says, well, what are we going to do in this situation? This is Peter's counsel. Peter says, you respect him even though he's an unbeliever. And by respecting him even though he's an unbeliever, you may bring him to Christ. Could it be, ma'am, that if your husband isn't the exact husband that you would want him to be, that if you still respected him anyways, it could help mold him and make him into the husband that he should be? You'd be amazed what a man will do if his wife will just cheer him on while he does it. If the home is to be in the right place, then the wife must respect her husband. She must respect the order that God gives. And when she fights against that, she is not only fighting against her husband, she is fighting against the Lord. I didn't expect it to get this tight this morning. What's going on? I should let you preach again, Brother Lee. All right, number one, role. Number two, respect. Number three, this last word I want to give you is the word respond. It is the word respond. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. All right, the word submit, we said this, carries the idea of responding in love to someone else. This is seen in the relationship of Christ and His church. It's seen in the relationship of Christ and His Father. Jesus shows us love and we respond to that love. And in like manner, the wife is to respond to her husband. In fact, verse 24 tells us what she's to respond in. Verse 24 says she's to respond in everything. I could give you a list of things this morning. I'll say this, and then I'll try to bring this to a close. Ma'am, you are to respond to your husband spiritually. You are to respond to your husband spiritually. The husband is the priest of the home. He is. He's the priest of the home. And as such, it is his decision on the direction the home takes, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. The Bible even makes it clear, I believe, in 1 Corinthians 14:35, that the husband will stand and give an account for his home and the spiritual direction of it when he stands and gives an account before God. Because he is the spiritual leader of the home, you should not only respond to him and respond to his leadership, but you know what you ought to do? You ought to pray for him and pray for his leadership. I know that every home operates in its own unique way, but there are very few decisions that are made in my home without me consulting my wife first. Very few. I've discovered in almost 25 years of marriage that God's given me a great asset right there. Very valuable. And I am not man, so much man that I think, well, bless God, I've got all the answers. I've learned better than that. Very few decisions that I make that I don't talk to her first because I want to hear what she says. I think her input is valuable. She has good insight. In fact, sometimes she sees things that I don't see. Sometimes she sees things that I've just willingly blinded myself to. And she'll say, well, you need to think about this. And I'll think, oh, man. That's right, I do need to think about that. Maybe I should have thought about that a long time ago. But while I consult her on almost every decision, when the decision is finally made, guess whose decision it is? It's mine. And here's a wonderful thing. And I don't say this just because she's here, but this is just the way that it is. I can't think of any spiritual decisions where I've decided something, even in those times where it was not maybe what she would have decided, that she's ever fought me over it. You know why? Because God has called me to be the spiritual leader of the home. The home, if structured, what we've talked about is structured home. The home, if structured correctly, is led by a loving husband, followed by a respectful and responding wife, followed by obedient children. And when our home follows this order, we not only experience the blessings of God, but we model to the world Christ and His church. She's to respond to her husband. She's to respond to her husband spiritually. She's to respond to her husband physically. You can read that yourself, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 through 5. But let me give you this verse, and I'll close. It's verse 22 again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means that she follows the spiritual leadership of her home just as the church follows the doctrines of Christ. It means that she allows him to lead the home just as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives. It means that she gives herself fully and physically to Him just as we are called to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord. She is to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. I tell you what we'll do. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And we'll have just a moment of invitation. I don't know if somebody wants to come pray, but if you do, these altars are open. We want to give you the opportunity to do that. Maybe there's a wife, maybe there's a husband and wife, maybe there's a family that wants to come pray together. And if you do, these altars are open to you. Maybe it's someone else. Maybe you want to come pray, a young person. You want to come pray that God gives you the right husband, the right wife. Maybe you want to come pray for someone else. You're welcome to do that. Let's give a time of invitation. If you're there in your pew, you just keep your head bowed and you pray.